And we all agree with that, but I can't seem to get you to all believe that the devil in wrong can't be the devil in wrong unless you let him. But you think that God needs your permission, but the devil don't. Now, I don't understand that kind of thinking at all, but I don't want to get into another message. We've got enough to do tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, again for the privilege, the opportunity, and the honor of preaching and teaching your word. Father, I thank you for your word. I accept your word, and I bless you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read Exodus 7:1. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Two of you have to agree, or you can't. It won't work against Pharaoh. Verse 2. Now he's first, in verse 1 he tells you what has to happen, and then now he tells you what's going to happen in verse 2. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and there, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh. Moses, you repeat everything I say, and then have your brother, the one that agrees with you, the one who has similar qualities, let him go and speak unto Pharaoh. So soul, you speak to spirit, and spirit, you speak to body. Reuben, you speak to member, member, you speak to body. And what is it that we are to say, or that I am to say? Speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. That's true, but it's a sad commentary that God says, I ask you to come out, promise you that you can, and you won't. So I have to go to my arch enemy and have him send you out. Now, when he sends you out, him you'll obey. That's sad, but that's the way it is. Doesn't have to be that way, but that's the way it is. Now, there's people sitting in this room right now who have not and will not, because they choose not to come out on God's word. They're waiting to be sent out. What else do I have to do? What else has to happen? I'm ready and willing. God's ready and willing, but what's the problem? Well, you're waiting until Pharaoh sends you out. And Pharaoh doesn't send you out until he dies. Now, the only way he can prevent that is to kill you first. So see, you're playing Russian roulette. And he sends you the gun with 6 bullets in it and says, you take the first shot. And you're hoping it's a 7-shooter. No. One, see all these fingers on one hand? And one more on the other, that'd be 6. Oh, yeah. Now he said, speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. Speak to Pharaoh in such a way that he sends the children of Israel out of worry, distress, all of the things that his land, his way, his habits mean. The word send from the Hebrew means to send out, push away, and send away. In other words, you have to be forced out. And the way you're forced out for you smokers is emphysema or cancer. Drug addicts, well, they're forced out when they start drowning in their vomit. Overeaters Anonymous. Only after every time you stand up, there's an eclipse of the sun. And then you toothpicks. You have to swallow a potato whole so you'll have something to hang your pants on. Disgusting. That's not a nice vision as you put it in your mind, is it?
No.
Now we know that Pharaoh must send away the children because you choose not to come out. But now we have to find out, what does it take to make Pharaoh send the children of Israel out of his land? Now we go to chapter 11, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague. See, there's only really one plague. The rest was a lot of hassles is all. I looked up everywhere. This is the first time in the Bible that the word plague appears. Yet we've had frogs, lice, dull, all that other junk first. But he said, I will bring one plague. So see, this is the plague. This is the one that does it. Yet will I bring one plague upon Pharaoh. That word more is in italics. It means it wasn't in the original rendering. Yet will I bring one plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. See, Pharaoh's not going to get rid of you until it's his butt on the line. He thinks more of himself than you do of you. So now, what is this plague that's necessary? Well, first of all, you need to know what plague means. It means a blow or a wound, an infliction. Plague, by definition, means anything that afflicts or troubles. Well, you see, what afflicts, what can afflict or trouble trouble? What can worry worry? What can distress distress? What can make unhappiness unhappy? See, it's something that afflicts or troubles Pharaoh, the land. So plague is something that afflicts or troubles. It also means something that's contagious and deadly. It means something that causes pain or suffering to cause distress to overthrow and to end, to conquer. So he said, this thing is going to wound and conquer and overthrow Pharaoh. Overthrowing. Well, what ends sorrow? What overthrows, conquers, and ends sorrow? Forgiveness. See, you're sorry, but you're not forgiven. You sorry thing, you. And you're not forgiven because you haven't told the truth. You haven't confessed. So you see, the plague that Pharaoh hates the most. See, we'll give another chance before death comes. God says, I'm going to send a plague now on it. I'm going to teach you what it is. If you would forgive others, ask for forgiveness for yourself. That would be your sorrow. End of your sorrow. See, because forgiveness conquers sorrow. So forgiveness would be a plague upon sorrow. Peace would end worry. Peace conquers and overthrows worry. So you see, just before the death angel, just like the governor is giving you one more chance, fess up, man. I don't want you to go through this. Let's put a plague on Pharaoh. See, if peace ends worry, then what ends peace? Worry? See, it works both ways. Forgiveness overcomes sorrow. So what overcomes forgiveness? Sorrow. Peace ends worry, so worry would end peace. Happiness ends misery, so misery ends unhappiness. So you see, happiness, so you see, they're saying the plague is to give something to Pharaoh that he can't stand. Now, misery cannot stand happiness. That's why some of you get so upset at the rest of us who are happy. Because you're miserable. And you want to put a plague on us, and I say, no, we put the plague on happiness on you. Happiness be upon you, and suffer your happiness. Oh, no, he didn't. What a horrible man. Cursed be with happiness. Yes, and again and again. Disease or lack of ease is ended by grace. Grace is a plague on disease. And obviously health is the plague. It overcomes and ends illness. So he says it's time to put a plague on Pharaoh. I bring one plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. You would think people would learn at this point. No. Because you see, the people then do something just like you do. Verse 4 of chapter 11. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. So here's the warning, Christian. About midnight, God's going to go out in the midst of your troubles. And all the firstborn in your troubles, the firstborn, the thing that God gave you, is going to die. It's going to become obsolete, unusable, no longer significant. But the warning is, it comes about midnight. Now, midnight comes from two Hebrew words, because the English word midnight means the middle of the night. So from the Hebrew, the prefix mid means the middle, or something that you cut or split in two. Night, the second part, night or darkness, adversity, means to twist away the light. Not like Chubby Checker does. But see, midnight comes when you come to the middle and you twist away the light. Now, we got some twisters in here. People who twist away the light. And when you start twisting away the light, it's midnight. And you did it. See, midnight comes when you twist away the light. Now, how do you twist away the light? The light being, of course, Jesus Christ, the truth, the Word. How do you twist it away? Well, the word twist means to wind two or more in order to produce one. So you take what I say and what you want to do, and you twist it together and make one. That's how you twist away the light. I tell you, the Lord said, be not among the heathen. And you say, oh no, he said, it's all right to be among the heathen, just don't let them affect you. I don't remember saying that. Where'd you twist that one from? So you wind two or more in order to produce one. The Lord said, pollute not yourself. Do not pollute the temple of the living God. And you say, oh, yeah, God understands, and I can just keep doing this until later on. As soon as I get this problem done, then I'll work on that one. Well, you see what you do? You wound two in order to produce one. Just like Adam and Eve did. Said, you can eat everything you want here. There is an apple tree, has one thing on it. There's a peach tree, one thing. There's another, all one. He says, but there's one tree that has two things on it, good and evil. Don't twist them into one. So what did they do? It's good and evil. And Satan said, no, it's good. You can be as gods. So he took the two and twisted it and made it into one. And, of course, you know the story. Eve bought it, and so did Adam. So you see, the beginning of winding two or more in order to produce one was in the Garden of Eden. But the word twist also means to interweave in something else. Now, the something else that you want to interweave the light with is your habits. You still want to eat the same. You still want to think the same. You still want to talk the same at work, away from church. Now, when you're with us in church or on our outings, you want to be a different person. So see, the problem is you have to interweave both. Now, you can go ahead and do that, Christian, if you want to, but God says that's about midnight. See, because you have received light in this church. And now what you're doing is you're twisting away the light by interweaving it with something else. Now, the characteristics of the twister, the one who's creating midnight, by definition, twist means to make one's way by turning one way and then the other. Yes, I will. No, I won't. You should stop doing that, but I'm not ready yet. I'll stop doing that on Sunday, but Monday's another story. And so is Tuesday, by the way. Now, Wednesday, we can consider it again, but Thursday, back and forth. A sidewinder, a serpent, if you will. How does a serpent make its way? By twisting, by going one way and then the other. You snake in the grass, you. Lion in your teeth. Now, you like to go back into the world with your friends because then you have an excuse and can blame it on somebody else. And God said, I told you, do not pollute yourself by going back with the heathens. Well, you mean we're not supposed to have fellowship? I didn't say that. I said, don't let them give you what they have. Now, if you were telling them the truth, they wouldn't invite you, would they?
That's right.
I guarantee you, I get no invitations from them. And I give them free tapes. If you were telling the truth, they wouldn't have a thing to do with you. But they still love you. And you know why. Because you're a hypocrite, that's why. And you're a snake and a serpent, because you make your way by turning one way and then the other. To us you show one thing, to them you show something else. And that's the way you make your way, turning one way or another. That's called twisting away the light. You're bringing midnight. You're bringing a darkness into your life. And God basically said, when you don't have the light, forgiveness and mercy, and I'll send you counselors, I'll send you a pastor and a preacher. But when you have the light after I've given to you, and you start weaving in the corner your baskets because of your insanity, that's when I take. See, he says, pollute yourself if you like. But don't you dare do that to my son, the light. Now understand what I'm telling you, friend. God is long-suffering, and he will let you do to you whatever you want. But he's pretty particular about his firstborn, Jesus Christ. His firstborn and only begotten. You made a mistake when you opened your big mouth and told people you were a Christian. You should have kept your mouth shut. But you see, now you have the problem of twisting away the light. Well, why do you do that, brother? Well, you know, God's forgiving. Well, you've twisted away the light, because when you come home, how come you aren't as forgiving with your wife and your children or your husband as you are at work toward you? Well, because you make your way by turning one way and then another. Now, Jesus said, you tell them about midnight. When I see them twisting one way or another, when I see them taking the light and the truth and interweaving it with their own habits, tell them about midnight. I'm going to go out in the middle of them. And when I do, the firstborn are going to die. So you create the midnight, not God. By definition, twist not only means to make one's way by turning one way or another, like a serpent, but it means to distort or pervert the meaning of. You take what I say and you distort it or pervert it. Distort it, change it, or pervert it. You apply it to somebody else, but not you. That's a perversion. Twist also means to cause to become confused. There's Vinny again. Twist also means to cause to become mentally disturbed and then emotionally disturbed. And he says you twist away the light. Light means knowledge or information. Light means spiritual inspiration. You twist it away by interweaving it with your own perspiration, which you think is inspiration. Now, I'm going to tell you basically again what it means, what you're doing when you twist away the light, because this is what the Bible calls midnight. And this is when the death begins. First, you interweave with something else. That means to intermingle and to blend light and dark, right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil, a little of this and a little of that. You cut back, but you haven't quit. And I'm not saying that the not quitting is the problem. I'm saying the problem is that you are willing to live, that it's all right to do a little less. I'm just saying you're as wrong when you did 100% as you are when you're doing 1/10%. Now, you've improved in terms of the physical, but you're just as wrong. So you interweave and you intermingle and you blend. You also turn one way and the other. One way and then another. Turn means to change the position. You should be in subjection to the one in authority over you, wives. Amen, brother, that's my position. Brother, You should be under the authority of your pastor, your preacher, and your counselor, who says to you, Jesus said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I got to change my position there. But see, you don't change your position like a man and come and say, I don't agree with you. You know how you change your position? You don't want to talk then. See, you go and do it first, and then let's talk about it later. Now, when your wife is contemplating something, we come and talk about it first, because you want me and the Lord to stop her from doing what's wrong. When it's you, you go do it first, and then we talk. And then you say, oh, yes, you're so right, but I already did it. Again and again and again. So what is that? Turning one way, changing the position. Turn also means to reverse the position. You agree with it today, tomorrow it applies to you, you don't agree with it. Well, you say, so what? I'm the spiritual head and I have grace. Yes, you do. But let me tell you what happens when you're in a family where the head of the household reverses positions. Now, he is the husband, she is the wife, and they are the children. You like reversing positions? That's why your children hate you and think they know better than you. And you tell them to do something, they won't do it. Why? Because they reverse positions. And then your wife thinks she knows better than you because she's reversed positions. And you say, my kids don't do what I want them to do. And then I go over there and I do, and they do it. Why? Because I haven't reversed positions. Turn also means to change one's intentions, to change one's feelings and one's attitudes. Oh, I know you're against sin in your wife and your children and your husband, and I know you're against sin in each other. But you have a change of intentions, feelings, and attitudes when it's your sin. That's about midnight, friend. Turn also means a walk in which you return to the starting place, as in a cycle. So you see, when God sees you doing that, he wants you to understand. I want you to know that is the physical manifestation of a person who's approaching midnight. And I'm warning you, when midnight comes, Jesus, God said about midnight, a little before, maybe during, maybe a little after, he doesn't tell us about midnight. About the time you start changing positions, reversing positions, changing intentions, feelings, and attitudes, intermingling, I'm going to be right out in the middle of your troubles, and I'm going to kill the firstborn. The firstborn is going to die. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how you create this midnight. After you turn, it means to distort the meaning of the light, the word, what I'm preaching. You distort the meaning. Distort means to misstate, misrepresent, or pervert. It means to modify so as to produce an unfaithful reproduction. I never said you could go out into the world as long as they didn't affect you. What I said is God said you stay out of there. I'll give you what you need. I'll give you the fellowship. I'll give you the blessings. I'll give you everything that you need. You misrepresent what I said. Now, where you got that intention and where you got that scripture, I have no idea, but you misrepresent what I said, and you pervert, and you modify it so as you produce an unfaithful reproduction. And then once, if you can't get away with distorting, you pervert. Pervert means to turn to an improper use or misapply. Now, when I say you should not lie, that is to be applied to you. Then you turn around and you lie and you say to your wife, Reuben said, the Bible says, you should not lie. That's true, but that was your medicine. I already gave her hers. You wanted to have two anti-lying pills and you don't get any. See, I gave her one and I gave you one. Gave the kids one too, by the way. So what you do is you take yours and you apply it to her. Or ladies, you take yours and you apply it to him. See, now you are perverting. You're misapplying. You're telling the truth. He shouldn't lie. You're telling the truth. She shouldn't lie. But you're misapplying it because that was given to you. It had your name on it. Had your prescription. It's your name. You're misapplying it. Now, how many of you would be stupid enough to go to the doctor and get medicine for yourself with your name on it and go home and give it to your kids? You'd kill them. But that's what you're doing spiritually. You're misapplying the truth. Not to say that you're not telling them the truth, but you're misapplying it because you very conveniently apply your truth to everybody else. Then there's none for you. That's called perverting. That means it's about midnight. And then midnight means you become confused. See, if these are the kinds of things you're doing, God's warning you, it's about midnight in your life. Then you become confused. Confused means to be mixed up mentally. It means to fail to distinguish between right and wrong. It means to, did you know that confused means to be embarrassed? And to embarrass? See, so a confused person is always, oh, I'm so sorry, what will they think about me? Oh, I'm so, everything. You don't want to be embarrassed. You're so afraid of being embarrassed. Oh, they will think this about me, they'll think that about me. If it's true, so what? God help you if people, there's something wrong with you and people don't tell you, but the truth embarrasses you. Why? Because you're confused. Why? Because it's about midnight. So you become confused, and midnight also means mentally disturbed. Now notice, the first thing you do is you interweave, you turn one way or the other, you distort the meaning, you pervert the meaning, then you become confused. Then you have the audacity to put it on me and say, well, I don't understand. Well, why don't you understand? Because you interwove, you turned one way or the other, you distorted what I said, and then you perverted what I said, made yourself confused, then you come and drop it on my lap as an excuse and say, I don't understand. I'm confused. And you did it. Now, after confusion, the word midnight means mentally disturbed. Mentally means that that's done by or carried on in the mind. You become disturbed by what's only in your mind. Now, you would think that that would cause you much of a problem. Because, you see, you ain't got a whole lot to work with to begin with. But you see, mentally disturbed means that that happens only in your mind. And you see, everything that ultimately makes you emotionally disturbed. Now notice, mentally disturbed first, then emotionally disturbed. So you see, all problems begin in the mind. So here comes a problem in the mind and says, well, what do you think? I think you're nothing. I don't think you can do a thing to me. I think God will protect me. You don't want to be mentally disturbed? No, thank you. Well, if I can't be mentally disturbed, then I can't be emotionally disturbed. Don't you understand that every time you get emotional, you get upset in some way, physically and emotionally, it started mentally. You have to be mentally disturbed. Mentally disturbed also means to have a mental disorder. You belong in the funny farm. You're mentally disturbed. Don't you understand what the term means? It starts out just worry, 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 worry. Upset, 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 upset. Confused, 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 confused. But it ends up, you end up in the funny farm. Mentally disturbed. Now, mentally, it all happens, disturbed. What does the word disturbed mean? So you can always tell people that are disturbed. As soon as you know what the word disturbed means, it means to interrupt. They won't let you finish a sentence. You better take a deep breath and get that whole paragraph out, because if you stop to draw breath, they're going to jump right in and interrupt you. They're disturbed. See, and the reason they're not hearing a word that you're saying, they're only waiting for a break so they can jump in. They interrupt. Disturbed also means to break in on. It means to break up the quiet or serenity of. Mentally disturbed. Breaking up the quiet or the serenity of your own mind. It means to agitate. Now, how do you agitate? agitate means to change directions. It's no for you, or yes for you, and no for me. See, I do it, that's a no-no. You do it, and that's a yes-yes. See, so how do your brains get scrambled? How do you agitate? I mean, it's either no or it's yes for everybody. But see, when you become mentally agitated, it's when you go one direction and then the other. Now, how do you mentally agitate yourself? Again, you take the same principle, you take the same action, and say yes this motion when it's you and this motion when it's somebody else. You are now mentally agitated. That's when you start giving me all the reasons why you say yes to you over food or whatever and no to everybody else. Your children primarily, and your children look at you and say, Dad, you must be crazy. I saw what you said when you said yes. So I thought you meant yes, and then I do it and you say no. So then what does your child do? They say yes to them and no to you. Now to me, that's perfect obedience. I love you kids. Children, you are obedient. It's your parents that are cuckoo. Children are obedient. Parents are cuckoo. Now let me tell you something else. If your father was God, then your parents wouldn't be cuckoo either. But see, if your parents are cuckoo, then your kids' parents are cuckoo. Because God doesn't say yes to himself and no to you. He plays by the same rules. He doesn't change things for himself or for Jesus or for the Holy Spirit for that matter. So see, God is not mentally disturbed. You, unfortunately, are another case. Yes for yourself and no for everybody else. That's mental agitation. That's a perfect indication of the fact that you are mentally disturbed. You are not right upstairs. Your elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. You're out to lunch. You don't have a full deck. See, you're missing some cards. Something be not right. Disturbed also means to break up the settled order of. Understand this. God said, I have you settled and ordered, and you're the one that breaks it up. Disturbed also means to interfere. Interrupt, break in, and interfere. It is amazing to me how much you know about what I ought to be telling other people. It is amazing to me how you analyze everybody else, come and tell me specifically in great detail what's wrong with them and what I ought to say about it. And you see them precious little time. You spend your whole waking life with you and you don't have a clue what to do about yourself. You're an interferer. You're a busybody. And then you become emotionally disturbed. Now, understand, these are all the characteristics of midnight. This is the warning. God says, if you see yourself here, I'm warning you, it's about midnight. You become emotionally disturbed. Emotional means quick to weep, quick to be angry, quick to be excited. Quick to love, quick to hate, quick to fear, and quick to be angry. That's emotionally disturbed. And remember what I told you about emotion. It really has four definitions: love, hate, fear, and anger. That's your emotions. That's not the love of God. Even though it begins with love, it's sensual love. Now remember, love, hate, fear, anger. Remember what I told you. What you love, you end up hating, because when you start loving that person, your happiness depends on what they do. They start getting a controller. You gave them that, though. They couldn't take it from you. You love them the wrong way. Now that you get hooked on your own wrong love for the individual, and they don't jump through the hoops you want them to jump through, now you start hating them because they have an adverse effect on your life, because they won't do what you want them to do to satisfy your wrong love.
So now love turns into hate. You hate that person because they can affect you adversely. Now, the minute you realize that they can affect you adversely, you hate them, then you start fearing them. Oh, boy, this is someone that can hurt me. They can break my heart. They can do this. It can be your children, husband, wives, friends. It doesn't matter. Love, then you hate the person you love because you give them wrong power. Then you start fearing that you gave power to. You start fearing that individual who you're trying now to hate, avoid, but you can't because you love them. You've turned your friendship into an addiction. Love, hate, and now you start fearing the person you're trying to avoid because you love them. And then your ultimate way to handle that is anger. Love, hate, fear. First you love it, then you hate the fact that you love it, then you fear the fact that you love it, and then you're angry at the fact that you love them. That's emotionally disturbed. That's midnight. That's about the time that God said, I'm going to come in, and the firstborn are going to die. Now, to tell you how much you're risking here, and I'm only going to tell you a little bit of this. We're going to finish this up on Wednesday. Now that you know you're living at midnight, some of you already, your firstborn is dying, because we got a lot of them. Your firstborn are croaking off. And let me tell you what it means. Firstborn from the Hebrew means, obviously, the eldest son, the first one born, the one that burst the womb. It means the eldest son. Everybody knows that. Here's what you didn't know. Firstborn means birthright. The word birthright, actually, we could word it this way. God said, about midnight, when you start twisting the truth, your birthright is going to die. Now, you better understand what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about your youngest or your oldest son. I'm talking about your birthright. Eventually, it might be your eldest son. But the first thing that dies is your birthright. And let me see if your birthright is intact, or if it's, or maybe it's already gone. Birthright means the rights that a person has because he was born into a certain family. You were born again into the family of God, which means you have rights. You have a birthright. Now, if your birthrights are dead, obsolete, not used, then midnight is here and you're already giving up birthrights. And see, God does it so lovingly. He doesn't just smash you all at once. Birthrights means what you have received, the rights you have received because you've been born into the family of God. Birthright means the rights you have because you were born into a family. Well, this family I'm talking about is the family of God. Now, let me tell you some of what the birthrights are. I've studied this long and diligently, and I'm not done, and I'm not going to give them all to you tonight because there's too many, but I'm going to give you the ones that I have. If I took the time to study and read them and write them down, give me the courtesy to take the time to hear them. Whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Promises, that's a birthright. Birthright that we can have a divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. That's a promise of God. That's part of our birthright. Now, if you have not the divine nature, you're still moaning and groaning and complaining and criticizing, your birthright's dying. It's midnight. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. 1 Kings 8:56. Not one word of what God has promised has failed. You have. But you see, the problem is you killed the birthright. The problem is you intermingle and you made excuses, and God said, I'm warning you, because at midnight, you're going to lose your birthright. So now, I can say there hath not failed one word of his promise to me, but you can't. Well, why? Because you're trying to intermingle right with wrong. I didn't say you were doing wrong, as I do wrong. I just don't intermingle the two. I say, that's wrong. I did that, and that's wrong. I did that, and that's right. I don't put the two together. So therefore, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. 1 Kings 8:56. Is your birthright sick? If ye abide in me and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what you want, and it shall be done unto you. Now, you can say that, you can quote it, you can pray it, you can reaffirm it all you want, but if your birthright is dead, you might as well just be singing out in the street. And why doesn't it work for you? Because you didn't see midnight coming. You in a room, you twisted away the light. And then once things didn't work, then you come back and you say all these things, but it doesn't work. Why? Because you don't have the right anymore. Why? Because you twisted away the light. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. God says, it pleases me to give you the kingdom. Now, who does it please for you to have nothing? Certainly not God. And I can tell you, I'm not too thrilled about it either. Now, and I know you don't want to have nothing. I know you don't want to fear, and I know you want the kingdom. But why don't you have it? Because your birthright is dead. Why? Because you twisted away the light. Because you want to pussyfoot with Pharaoh. That's why. You want to intermingle the truth. You want to become the big expert all of a sudden. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. God says the problem isn't the sin. We all do that. The problem is you have no advocate. The problem is you want to go tell God yourself, well, this is what happened and it was their fault. And Jesus said, look, if you told me, if you confessed, I'd go tell the Father the truth. You can't be trusted to go tell the truth about you. So you see, as a result, your birthright is dead. Again, you twisted away the light. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, I can't do that. That's too hard. Being a mother's too hard. Being a father's too hard. This job's too hard. I can't do that. That's not possible. Well, what's the problem? You can't believe. Why not? Because your birthright, you don't have the right to believe. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It isn't a question of wanting to. You've got to have the right. God is legal. And the only thing you have to do, see, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were born into the family of God. That gave you the birthright. There's only one way Satan can take it away from you. Twist away the light. Put your habits, your opinion, what you think, in with what you hear here, and that's midnight. Now you're twisting away the light. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Acts 16:31. Oh, I've been praying for so many years that my father and my mother, my cousin and my uncle, and I'll be saved. All you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Well, how come they're not saved then? Well, one of two things. You're either not believing the Lord that he's going to save them, or they're not part of the house. Now, when do you get to decide? See, they get to decide whether they're part of the house, not you. So see, if you can believe Christ to save you, that's fine. If you can believe Christ to save them, that's even better. But if they're not part of the house, they're not going to get saved. So relax. Take it easy. Chill out, as they say. Be cool. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. You have a right to that. You know why your children can't be taught? They don't, huh? You tell them over and over again, but I come and I tell them, I say, oh, sure. Why didn't you say so? Of course I'll do that. And you tell me, huh? Well, what happened? It says, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Isaiah 54:13. Now, don't lie to me that your children have peace. Don't lie to me that your children are taught of you. Don't lie about that. Now, I'm going to tell you why it doesn't happen. You're not any worse than I am. You're not any better. You're not any worse. Your only problem is you lost your birthright. And the reason you lost your birthright is you twist away the light. You look the other, you turn off the light when you're doing it. When your wife is doing something, you order floodlights. You order those lights they had at the theater over here to announce searchlights. We can find airplanes with it. Flashlights, candles, floodlights. Stage lights, and say, look at her. Now, when it's you, we go for the fuse box, right? You lost your birthright. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Isaiah 62:3. He says, you'll be a crown of glory. God wants to show you off. Says, look, my son, look at my daughter. And how can he do that if he picks up and he says, oh my God, what am I going to do, Lord? I don't know this. And how can that be a crown of glory in the Lord? See, if your children went to school, dressed like you, looking like you, and talking like you, they would pick up all the parents for being child abusers and neglecting their children. See, here's the sad part about it. Kids get up in the morning and say, okay, time to go to school. You know how they would go? They'd wear their pajamas. They don't care. They wouldn't brush their teeth. They wouldn't comb their hair. They wouldn't bathe. They wouldn't change. They'd go stinking under their underarms and everywhere. Don't lie. You make them change. You see, it's your pride and your ego, and you force it. You have no compassion for them. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't that way, you wouldn't have to get up so early. You wouldn't have to do the laundry. Just let them go with a loincloth, a twig, a fig leaf, anything. It wouldn't matter. Cheerios box, the thing. You wouldn't care, and you know you wouldn't care. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. I don't care what your boss's title is. That's a dominion that has to obey and serve us. That's a promise. That's part of my birthright. If I just don't twist away the light. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's my birthright. See, God says, I will not lie. And he says, you call on me and I will answer you. And I'll be with you in trouble and I'll deliver you and honor you. Now, if you call upon him and he doesn't answer you, and he isn't with you in trouble and doesn't deliver you and honor you, you've lost your birthright. God is not unfaithful to his word. You just lost your birthright. You no longer have a right to this. Now, what do you have to do to lose your right? Just twist the light? Sinning isn't going to cause the problem. Twisting the light is what does it. Believe me, if sinning was the problem, I wouldn't have a flashlight. I wouldn't have a match. See, I got a lot of light. For the simple reason that I don't twist the light. What's wrong that I do is wrong. What's right that I do is right. And I'm not putting the two together. That's all there is to it. Because I'm not going to twist the light. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Hebrews 10:35. I have a birthright that if I cast not away my confidence, that just the fact that I'm confident is going to bring me the reward. I'm confident that I win. I'm confident that I'm going to have everything that I need. I'm confident that give me a ticket. If one person gives me a ticket, somebody else has to give me the money to pay it. Amen. I'm confident of that. Amen. Now, if you're not going to give me the money to pay it, Lord, then don't give me a ticket. And if you're going to give me a ticket, give me the money. Give me two tickets, give me two monies. Three tickets, three monies. See, confidence, he will not fail. I have a right. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. This is God speaking. He says, nothing in this book is here that has not gone out of my lips. And he said, I will not break it, and I will not alter it. I won't even change it. That's his birthright to me and you. And all I have to do to hang on to that, again, is don't twist the light, chubby. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. See, it says, one of you will chase 1,000. Now, you come and you say, and you give me one little puny somebody out in the world. And I say, well, wait a minute. This person doesn't have their birthright.
Because my Bible says that one of you could chase 1,000 of them, and you can't even handle one of them. So what have you lost? Your birthright. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Joshua 23:10. Now, why is it that you fight for you? Why is it that you always fight with each other? You fight with me, you fight with your boss, you fight with your brothers, you fight with your sisters, you fight with yourself. Why is it that you fighteth for you? Because God is not fighteth for you. Now, why is not God fighteth for you? Why is it you have to fight it for you? You lost your birthright, Dodo. See, in case you don't get the message here, all of this has the same cause. See, it all comes from the twist, don't twist away, like we did last summer. You know how that goes. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It says, call upon me in the day of trouble. And what do? I don't have enough money. I don't have enough. You ain't got enough Lord, friend. You don't have enough Jesus. You don't have enough truth. Now, he said, if you call upon him in the day of trouble, he will deliver you. Now, what do? Oh, Jesus, help me. What's the problem? I don't know if I'm going to come through 4 weeks from now. Wait, he said, call upon me in the day of trouble. If he said, call upon me 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months before the day of trouble, I'd be in agreement with you. But you see, you're always calling upon him for next week, while today is going into the toilet. See, why is it that you become so preoccupied with what might happen a week or a month from now, and you cannot see that today you are swimming the backstroke in the toilet? Can't you see where is your today so wonderful that you have time to be preoccupied with 3 weeks from now? I mean, if today is this wonderful, let's deal with tomorrow at least. At least I got you closer to today. But see, your today stinks. So he says, you call upon me in the day of trouble. Not a week before, a month before, 28 days before. Well, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Don't you have enough trouble today? Sufficient is the evil thereof. Today is all you can handle. But why is it you don't deal with today? Because you try to deal with next week. Here's one I like. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Jeremiah 1:19. Oh, they're fighting with me. And they're prevailing against me, and God isn't helping me, and God isn't delivering me. What's the problem? You've lost the birthright. God's word is still good. He's still willing. He still wants to. You lost the birthright. Is it sin that did it? No. Is it the right? No. What you did is you put the two together, twisted it, and try to produce one. You misapply, and you pervert. You shut off the light, and you want to be in darkness, so you can, I'm so confused, and do a Vinny on me. What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Mark 11:24. Now, how many of you have faithfully and religiously repeated that scripture and nothing happens? How many of you said, oh, I believe the Lord is true? And he is. I believe that this is going to happen. And it doesn't. Well, the Lord hasn't changed. Unfortunately, neither have you. So see, you have a birthright problem. You don't have a sin problem. You have a birthright problem. Because see, you took the light again and you twisted it and you fashioned it and you produced the light and you as one. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Matthew 6:14-15. This is where I'm going to quit, because we got a lot more birthrights. When I get through, you're going to know exactly what you're entitled to. You're going to be able to play this tape and find the promise, and you're going to be able to claim the promise, and you're going to receive the promise, or you're going to realize you lost your birthright. Amen. So then all you got to do is quit twisting the light, and then you'll have these things. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Brother, I don't understand this. I've been honest. We've counseled. I realize what I've done. I've confessed that I'm wrong. God's right. This is sin and I'm wrong. Why am I not forgiven? Why am I still troubled? Well, let me reiterate again what you do. Oh, Brother Reuben, I'm so wrong. Yes, I realize this is my sin. And I realize God has made provision for me. And I accept the mercy, the abundant mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ toward us fallen sinners. And I believe that I am wrong and I am sinful. And I believe the Lord has forgiven me for the murders and the bank robberies and all the things and the house burnings and all the things that I've done. I know the Lord has forgiven me. And then you call me and you say, that SOB didn't say hello to me this morning. Burn, baby, burn. Let's burn that witch at the stake. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. God says, child, how can I forgive you for burning houses, lying and thieving and stealing, and you won't forgive this person because they didn't say hello to you. They didn't smile at you. They had the audacity not to hire a brass band when you walked in. They met you with one lousy trumpet and a flute. I wanted John Philip Sousa and a marching band. Don't they realize who I am? Yes, we do. That's why you got a trumpet and a flute. See, you want different treatment than what you give, and it's not going to work. You have control of your destiny. You can decide how this entire world is going to treat you. Every single one of them, without exception. And I tell people, you're in my power. I have control over you. I can make you do what I want you to do. I can make you love me. How are you going to make? Because I'm going to love you. Well, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to make you give me money and make you be aware of my needs and want to help me if I need it. Well, how are you going to do that? I'm going to give you money. I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give until it kills you. You're in my power. Look into my eyes. See, I have dominion. I have power. But see, here's the problem. You want all of that without giving it. See, you're a farmer that wants to go out and plant air. You want to just skip through the hills alive with the sound of music, planting nothing, and then you want to come back 6 months later with baskets and you want to pick up all this harvest and all you planted was gas and air. Just words, just empty nothings. And God said, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. See, so God wants you to understand something very important here. And these are just, I'll bet you this is not one-tenth of the birthright. Maybe not one-twentieth. I have spent, do you realize how many hours it takes to pick a category and then go through the entire Bible and not only find the scriptures that fit that category, but also copy them longhand so that I can be a scribe just like these men were, that I can take the Word of God and write it. I'm not lazy. I don't do it like most preachers do, and they underline here, and they put an arrow over there, and then they say, well, they read here, and then over here. And, no, man. These men wrote it. They heard it, and then they wrote it. They put their hand to it, and they scribed it. They put it down and said, it's got my signature on it. Here's my signature. I wrote it for you. Now, I didn't originate it. I didn't author it, but I wrote it just like these men did. Why? For you. For your benefit. And for me. But you see, I had it already. I had it to begin with. For the simple reason that I wrote it, that I read it, and I wrote it. Now you being in the exalted position that you are, you neither read it nor wrote it. But you still get it. If you don't twist away the light. But Chubby, what am I going to do with you? You just, and you want to twist all summer, just like you did last summer, and the summer before that, and the summer before that. And then you approach God, and you don't understand why it doesn't work. You look for the problem in me. You look for the problem in the Lord. You look for the problem in each other. And all that it basically is, it's about midnight, and you twisted away the light, and your firstborn is dying. Now, see, your firstborn, see, when a person dies, see, your firstborn is dying in stages, just like a body. When a person finally dies, that isn't when they died. You know when they started dying? When they started eating wrong. And their system started getting toxins in it. And the liver starts losing some of its capability. You're overwhelming it. And it's starting to lose some of its elasticity, some of its strength. It cannot detoxify as much as it used to, and you're not slacking off, you're giving it more. You've been dying for a long time. See, your birthright is dying in stages. You don't run as much as you used to. You couldn't. Some of you could not. Be honest now. You could not go to the track and make one revolution without falling flat on one of your faces. You couldn't do it. You're dying. Now, I understand the process. That's why every opportunity I get on my treadmill, and I'll go for an hour and a half, sometimes longer. Go, 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 as fast as that sucker will go. I refuse to die. Legs, get moving. You got to work. You ain't getting out of this. You got a job. You got to carry me where I want to go, and in style, too. And if I ever need a ride, I may have to depend on you for more than support. See, you got to look right, legs. Don't you be dying on me. Get up. Get going here. Do something. Walk. Let's go play golf. Let's get on that treadmill. Do something, sucker. You ain't going to die on me. Wake up. See, that's true of your whole body. Listen, you die in stages, friend, if you don't believe it. Now, people want to wait until they're in bed and with their throwing their last kicks, and then they want to get healthy. 99% of you is dead already. It's just the last kicks, just the last few groans, and you've had it. Well, see, that's the way your birthright goes. A little bit at a time. First, you don't even realize you have one. You start losing your rights. All these things that I've asked you, all these things that I've read to you, can you honestly say you have every one of them? No. You say you have any of them?
No.
Man, it's time for the doctor. Doctor,
yeah.
You got to call the doctor here. Yeah. We have an emergency.
Yeah.
We got to put you in ICU. Intensive care unit. The only way I can give you intensive care unit is ICU. See, I have to tell you, I know that. I saw that. You did wrong. Oh, no, brother, you're so depressing. You're so critical. No, ICU. I give you intensive care.
Amen.
You're dying, friend.
Amen.
I'm trying to save your life. The fact that your soul is saved is only one-third of you. Slip of the tongue. I can tell where your mind is. Are you willing to live with one-third of you? One-third of you is the only thing that's right with the Lord, your soul? That's it? You're satisfied with that? Where the other two-thirds of you ain't? No, no, no. Not me. Uh-uh. I want it all. I want it all. Now, he said I could have it all, so I want it all. I'm not willing to settle for less. And all I have to do it with, brother, you have to become a saint. No, I don't. All I have to do is keep the garbage in the garbage and the right in the right and don't put them together.
Amen.
Now, when you go home, you ought to be able to understand this concept. Very simple. When you walk into your kitchen, see if you know the difference between the garbage can and the refrigerator. Now, if you know the difference between the garbage can and the refrigerator, you certainly would not take everything in the garbage and throw it in the refrigerator, would you? Well, then why do you do it spiritually? You know what's garbage and what's wrong, and you know what's right. But when it comes to you, you twist it away and you intermingle it. And then guess who has to eat that enchilada? There you go. It's yours. And you go through life with one third of you blessed. See, I had a slip of the tongue. See, God doesn't do things by fractions. Or fractures either. You, on the other hand, are pathetic. If God said, I get it all, then I want it all. And you see, the Lord said to Solomon, don't chop that child in half. See, he said, don't chop these children, either die or live. I mean, it's bad enough the way you are, but wouldn't you be horrible? And that's really the way you are, you know? Your child chopped in half. The outside, oh, praise the Lord, it looks good. The inside, full of flies. Stinky. Wrong. Why? Because your birthright, you've lost. And the only reason you lost it is you took the light, you took all you learned here, you took all that you were before, and you tried to make the two one by twisting them together while keeping your wife and your children at bay with the truth by saying, you're wrong, and that's right, and that's wrong, but with me, we put it all together. Your wife seeing that then does the same thing. Your children seeing that then do the same thing. And then we have the task that's before me. I show up to your house and I see peppermint sticks all over the place. Barber poles of life. Just twisted all together, all in one. You know how that works. It's dumb. Wednesday we're going to go into the rest of your birthright. And then Wednesday night, if we can get through the rest of the birthright, I'm going to tell you when the Lord said your birthright shall die, I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you how it ceases to function and operate. Even though it's still a birthright, it doesn't work for you anymore. And I'm also going to show you how to resurrect it. I mean, you kill it and we resurrect it. But you got to listen and you got to understand that no matter how many times the Lord uses me to resurrect it, if you keep twisting the light, you're going to kill it again. And you're going to end up in the same situation. Brother Sherman, would you close the service in prayer?